Tonight is from 1 Samuel chapter 3. This is a very, very well-known story from the Old Testament. I make no apologies for bringing an old Sunday school favorite. For those of you who might have been brought up going to Sunday school, the call of the boy Samuel is a Sunday school favorite story. I remember back 40-odd years ago when I was in Sunday school. But not everybody's brought up in Sunday school. I appreciate these days, and so the story may be quite new to you. But we're going to be looking at the Lord calling the boy Samuel. 1 Samuel and chapter 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. At that time I'll carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until the morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel, and he grew up and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. Amen. That's God's word. May the Lord speak to us through his word this evening. Is the PowerPoint good? It's there. Great stuff. Is that switched on? Does it need to be switched on? There we go. 1 Samuel 3 to read. The title of my message tonight is God Speaks and Are We Listening? As I said, this is a very well-known story, but I believe it has a lot to say to us even in 2017. When I was preparing this message, I got new insights into this old Sunday school story. You can read, you know the story because it's told to you verbally in Sunday school or in youth group or whatever. And everybody, if you've been brought up in church, knows this story so well from their Bible times. But when you pick up an old Bible story like I did to prepare this message and read it again, sometimes some new things come out that you didn't see. And I believe you can say that about any passage of God's word. You can read a Bible passage and think, "Do you know what? I've never noticed that bit before." And there's a few things tonight, and I'll try and highlight them as we go through, that I didn't realize when I read it again. But there's new things I want us to learn from this passage tonight about God speaking and to us tonight, and how he speaks to us today as how he tried to call Samuel all those thousands of years ago. And the first thing I want to notice is in verse 1. In the preamble we're told, the word of the Lord was rare. There was not many visions. Do you know what? I think we could say that about 2017. Generally speaking, the word of the Lord is quite rare in this country in particular. You could say there are not many conversions. There's not much growth in the church in the Western world. It's not to say that's not happening in other parts of the world. In other parts of the world, the church is expanding, particularly in places like China and South America. But this is the days of small things, we say. We rejoice at Battersford when one person becomes a Christian in our fellowship. Or we hear about somebody coming into our fellowship who goes through a Christianity Explored and becomes a believer. We rejoice over a couple that does that. And there'll be friends here tonight, perhaps some of our older friends and friends who have told you that they'll remember going to rallies where hundreds of people became Christians in one night. So we could argue these are the days of small things. A bit like today. But God was speaking, but nobody was listening. We know that from chapter 2. Because God had already had a chance to say something to Eli's wicked sons. If you turn with me to chapter 2 and verse 12, we read, Eli's sons were wicked men. They had no regard for the Lord. This was the issue about which the whole of God's call to Samuel that we've just read about was about. In chapter 2 and verse 25, we read this. His sons, however, did not listen to their father's rebuke, for it was the Lord's will to put them to death. Eli didn't try very hard to tell his sons off. We haven't got time tonight to go into what they were doing, but basically they were abusing their privileges as being the sons and sons of the prophet. But we know that God came and said something before, because we read verse 27, an unnamed man of God came to Eli and said to him, this is what the Lord says, did I not clearly reveal myself to your father's house when they were in Egypt under Pharaoh? I chose your father out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar to burn incense and to wear an ephod in my presence. I also gave your father's house all the offerings made with fire by the Israelites. Why do you scorn my sacrifice and offering that I prescribe for my dwelling? Why do you honor your sons more than me by fattening yourselves on the choicest part of every offering made by my people Israel? An unnamed prophet had come and warned Eli, but he did nothing. He did nothing, and now God was going to speak to the boy Samuel. God still speaks today. And he speaks through his son. Well-known verses from Hebrews chapter 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets. We've just been reading about them. And at many times and in various ways. But in these days, he has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The opening verses of Hebrews said it used to be prophets that spoke the word of God. Now God speaks to us today through his son. He uses us as Christians to speak the gospel to other people. The word of the Lord will be rare if we are far from God and not listening for him to speak to us. And if we're living in sin and in disobedience to God's word, then God will find other ways of speaking to us. May we be listening. May it not be the days of small things. May we be listening to the Lord. But then the second thing I noticed was that God calls Samuel by name. The word of God was so rare that Samuel does not recognize the voice and he thinks it is Eli. We remember this from probably when we've heard this story before. Each of the three times that God calls, Samuel assumes it is Eli and runs to Eli. And have you noticed how desperate the call was? This is the little thing I noticed. In the NIV translation, I believe in some others, when God calls Samuel, there's an exclamation mark at the end. It's Samuel! Samuel! It's urgent. It's a necessary call. And I get the impression that each call got louder and clearer. But still, Samuel, because he didn't know the Lord, went and assumed it was Eli. The voice is not recognized. He'd never heard the Lord's voice. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him, we read in verse 7. He has no idea who this voice is and where it's coming from. But he runs in obedience to Eli. Samuel has a good heart. He's thinking it's the old man who can't see very well these days. What is he asking me? And Samuel is listening, he's obedient, but he looks to the wrong person. Samuel heard an audible voice. We believe that because of the way it's structured in the Bible as we read it. But sometimes, you know, God speaks to us through an inner voice. There'll be many people say, yeah, you believe in a God. They'll say, Graham, you believe in a God. He's never spoken to me. I can honestly say, I have never heard an audible voice of God speak to me. But I tell you at least two occasions when an inner voice has spoken. No, three occasions The first occasion was when God convicted me of my sin and I became a Christian. The second occasion was 18 years ago when I sat under the ministry of our then pastor Brian Brown at Battersford Free Church and God clearly called me to leave my job in banking. I heard an inner voice. The third time that God, I believe, spoke to me, and there's probably others, but these are the ones that stick in my, where I had a clear inner voice, was at SIM about, must be 3 years ago now. We were in a small prayer meeting, and in the morning we meet for prayer for half an hour. I'm paid to pray. Do you know, my working hours are 8:45 until 5 o'clock with half an hour's prayer. So I'm paid to pray, but it's a privilege to pray. And we start our day with a half-hour prayer meeting, and in this prayer meeting, the lady next to me prayed, "O Lord God," or something she said, "please would you reveal to us who can go and mind the office in Ghana, in Accra, whilst Phil and Andrea go on their home assignment." And I'm with this lady praying, and the Lord said to me, "You could do that." And as they say, the rest is history, because we went and spent 10 months minding the shop, the office in Accra, in Ghana, as missionaries, having worked in the office for the previous 16 years. I clearly had a little voice inside me say, "You could do that." And it did kept prompting. This Holy Spirit's prompting. So God speaks to Samuel here by an audible voice. And there are Christians who will testify that God has spoken to them by an audible voice. But there are many Christians, maybe some of you here tonight, where God has spoke to you by that inner voice, where he's prompted you by his Holy Spirit. If God speaks to you like that, your response should be, "Here I am." But there's a third one, isn't there? The other way God speaks to us is through his word, the Bible. Have you ever read Bible verses sometimes, perhaps in your devotions, or you've sat and read the Bible and the verses have almost jumped out of the page and smacked you between the eyes because it suddenly you thought, "Wow, God, what are you saying in this?" And God's word will speak to us like that. So God does still speak today. Our response should be, "Here I am, send me." But look at the persistence we see also in verses 10 and verse 16. In verse 10, we realize that this is the fourth time now when Samuel has been told to go away and lie down. The Lord came and stood there calling out at other times, "Samuel, Samuel," the emphasis. Aren't we grateful, friends, for the Lord's persistence? He called Samuel three times and he didn't give up, because when Eli finally clocked that it was God calling, he sent Samuel back and told him to wait and see if the Lord would call again. But the emphasis is there. The exclamation mark speaks volumes to me that God was persistent. This was a serious message. But Eli is surprised that the boy Samuel is being called. The word of the Lord was so rare, it takes three calls before the penny drops and Eli says, "You know, it's God speaking to him." I don't think God has spoken to Eli as a prophet and as a priest for years because of his disobedience, and he's turning a willful blind eye to his son's sin. But suddenly the penny drops. Eli is surprised. God is calling after all these years. And I think that's a real picture of the spiritual darkness that was around at that time. If God calls three times before somebody even realizes it's God's calling, that must have been very, very dark days. But I find Eli's response is sad. He says to Samuel there in verse 9, "So Eli told Samuel, 'Go and lie down.'" This is one of those other little things I noticed, this is in the NIV. "And if he calls you," Eli thought, "Will God call a fourth time? If he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" If he calls you, there's doubt by Eli that God would persist with the call. He's not presumptuous, that's fair enough. But the persistence of God shows the importance of the message. Friend, if God calls you to do something, he'll keep calling until you yield. He doesn't let go. I can speak from that from personal experience. If God wants you to do something, he'll keep putting whatever that is before your eyes. And many of our missionaries in SIM will tell us that the Lord suddenly gave them an inkling that they might want to be sent to this country. And they thought about it and they dismissed it. The next thing they know, there's a documentary on TV about this country. The next thing they know is that somebody at church comes up to them and says, "You know, I was praying the other day, and the Lord has really laid in my heart to pray for the country of..." And you can guess what country it is. It's the country that God is calling this person to think about. So it's a bit like Samuel's call. Persistence by the Lord. Eventually the penny drops and somebody realizes, "I think the Lord might be calling me to serve in this country." The Lord is persistent in his call. Let's thank God that he is persistent and he keeps calling because he has an important message for us to deliver. And then God speaks and Samuel says, I am listening. But what I find interesting about that is that the Lord came and stood there. Verse 10, the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel responds, was that a theophany? That's a long word, isn't it? Was that a pre-incarnation Christ that stood there? We don't know. But when the writer of 1 Samuel, which we must believe to be Samuel himself, says the Lord came and stood there, I have in my mind's eye, what did Samuel see? Was it just a shadowy image? But, you know, a voice doesn't stand, does it? There must have been something there. We don't know. But God draws nearer this time. He stands right beside Samuel and calls him. And Samuel's respond. But notice, he was told to say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant is listening. Why? Why did he not use the word Lord? Well, I believe it's because he didn't yet know the Lord, so he didn't feel able to use the Lord's name. If you notice in your Bibles, it's L-O-R-D in capital letters, which is that great name of the Lord that we use in the Old Testament. Of course, the great name of God, Yahweh. And Samuel didn't really know the Lord. He does as he's told, but he's not prepared to use the Lord's name at this point because he doesn't know him. And but he listens to an extremely grave message of judgment as a servant of the Lord. And verse 11, Lord says, see, I am about to do something in Israel and make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. He doesn't know what the message is, but then God explains to Samuel what is going to happen to Eli's family. And the message is a very serious and grave and hard message. And Samuel goes to sleep. He wakes up the next morning. He opens the shutters and does everything. And Eli's a bit curious. I wonder what this message was that God had for this boy. And I think this speaks of Samuel's bravery and his obedience. The gospel message, you know, friends, is not palatable these days. Samuel is afraid but tells Eli everything. And that was a brave thing to do. 1 Corinthians 1:23 says, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. In Matthew 13 and 57, this is the verse that was read this morning by our pastor that confirmed we were looking at the right passage tonight. They were offended at Jesus. Jesus was teaching in Capernaum and they were offended by his message. Friends, the gospel is an offensive message in 2017. People don't want to know, generally. But that doesn't mean we stop preaching and teaching the good news of Jesus Christ. You need to have bravery and obedience when God is speaking you this message to bring it out and to speak it. He was afraid. But Eli said, may the Lord deal with the officers of Eli if you don't tell me everything. And Samuel told him everything, it says in verse 18. So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. And then Eli displays some great maturity. He is the Lord, he says. Let him do what is good in his own eyes. The Lord's will be done. There will be judgment on Eli and his sons. And if we went further forward into 1 Samuel, we would read what happens in the end. And we must give the full gospel message. The gospel message is a gospel of love. It's a gospel of restoration. It's a gospel of bringing together of God and man. But the gospel is also offensive because it talks about somebody dying on a cross. It talks about the fact that there's a problem inside each and every man, woman, boy and girl of sin. And people don't like talking about sin these days. And I have been to some churches where they play down the aspect of sin because they don't want to offend. And we are in a day of making a palatable gospel. The gospel is great news, but you have to give it warts and all. And it's exactly what Samuel did. He didn't play down the message of God. He gave it to Eli, warts and all, and Eli respected him for it. And they took offense at him. Matthew, there's the verse, 13:57. But Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, in his own house, is a prophet without honor. They took offense at Jesus when he preached here on earth. Even more so, I'm afraid, will they take offense sometimes at us as we share the good news of the gospel. God speaks to us. Samuel, we read as we go through the rest of the chapter, is attested as a prophet, it says in verse 20. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. None of Samuel's words fell to the ground and were wasted. He was that much of a prophet because he was in tune with God and God was speaking to him. God continued to speak to Samuel, give him messages. And if you read through the rest of 1 Samuel, the way he deals with Saul is brilliantly. I just love that chapter where Samuel comes up after Saul has supposedly done a great victory. And Saul says, Samuel, I did exactly what God asked me to do. And Samuel says, what's that bleating of sheep I hear in my ears? You didn't destroy everything. You kept some back. Oh, yes, but I was going to sacrifice them to God. That's not what God told you to do, Saul. Samuel was so in tune with God, he knew things were going to happen before they happened. Even when Saul was elected as king, there was lost donkeys, if you know that story. Some donkeys got lost. And Saul happens to come upon Samuel, and Samuel says, oh, yes, you've got to come with me to a special banquet. I've got some great news to tell you, Saul. And don't worry about your donkeys. They're safe. If you read that chapter, Saul hadn't even mentioned about the donkeys, and Samuel said, he's a bit like one of these TV magicians who can do that sort of thing. But this was of God, because God had given him the message. God continues to speak to Samuel. Samuel listens. Friends, are we listening to what God has to say to us? We do not have prophets today, but we have the Word of God and His Holy Spirit in our hearts. He reveals Himself to us through His Word. His Spirit speaks to us. Are we listening to what God has to say? Are we obedient? Are we delivering the hard message that can change lives? Are we mouthpiece servants of the Lord like Samuel was? Are we prepared to deliver a sometimes offensive message to some people, but a wonderful, life-changing message that the gospel is? Is God speaking to you, asking you to do something? Don't ignore him, because his shout does get louder. And eventually he may turn and find another way of speaking to you if it's not his inner voice or through his word. Be obedient, but be prepared to be that mouthpiece like Samuel was, sharing the good news of the gospel with those that need to hear it. These are still the days of grace. These are still the days of opportunity for people to come into God's kingdom. May we be people who are listening to God, communicating the message, and are being obedient as we do that, just like the boy Samuel did. For his name's sake. Amen. I make no apologies for a very old traditional hymn to finish with. Master, speak, thy servant heareth. Because the last line of each verse says, I am listening, Lord, to thee. What hast thou to say to me? May the Lord write on his heart, on our hearts tonight, what he wants to say to us tonight through his message. And may this song be our prayer. I am listening, Lord, to thee.